We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan on The Fan, Joe and Evan on WFAN.
All right, 203 on The Fan, and a very good Monday afternoon to you. Benigno and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666. Is the phone number here at 6 o'clock. Mike, of course, Francesa comes your way. Tommy Lugauer in Manhattan. Ernie Acosta in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio where nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bro, how are you?
Excellent. Hope everybody enjoyed their Mother's Day. All the moms out there, hopefully you were showered with love, showered with presents, showered with poems, whatever you need.
Indeed.
And you had a very good weekend. And a couple of weeks, we get our day. Father's Day, baby.
Yep. End of June.
Yes. End of June. We got to wait a month. I'm always excited for Father's Day.
Father's Day always would be the weekend of the U.S. Open in golf. Not going to be the case this year, unfortunately. And it was going to be up here. It was going to be at Wingfoot, too, up here in Westchester. Unfortunately, that's not happening, I guess, till sometime in the fall.
Nah, I know. My sister and brother-in-law were going to fly in for it. That's one thing whenever these days pass by, whether it's Mother's Day, Memorial Day in a couple of weeks, Father's Day.
Right.
You associate a lot of these days, obviously, for what their meaning is. Mothers, you know, obviously appreciating our country and those that gave their lives for our country. But you also think of the sporting events that have gone along with it.
Yep.
You know, the baseball game on Father's Day. You know, Jim Bunning pitching a perfect game.
Right.
NBA playoff games, golf. And so this time, you can spend even more time appreciating your mothers. Yep. And in the next month, your father's, because we don't have any sports to distract us during these times.
Not now. No, it is really not now. You know, it's funny. If I'm not mistaken, when the Knicks won the lottery in 1985, when the Ewing lottery, I believe it was on Mother's Day.
Oh, was it really?
I think it was.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure it was. I think I remember it being on Mother's Day.
Did you, because I don't know how you felt about this, I thoroughly enjoyed last night's Last Dance episodes, probably more than any of the days we had so far.
Is that because the Nets were featured in it a little bit? Was that the reason why? They showed the 98 playoff series and you were all over that?
I was all over the 5 minutes of, the Nets are giving him a fight.
Right,
you know, they're battling him.
Keith Gatling's giving him having a big game, you know?
Hey, and they touched on it briefly, but what I remember about that series and really that game as a Net fan is how they were destroyed by injuries. Keith Van Horn was banged up. Sam Cassell was banged up. He was really one of the stars of the team. So Sherman Douglas, the little general, was running the offense.
Sherman Douglas.
And they didn't show it, but Sherman Douglas almost hit a full-court heave at the end of regulation that would have given the Nets the victory. But the image I have of that game is Kerry Kittles getting his pocket picked by Michael, tie game, minute to go in overtime. And then the guy who will be joining us in less than an hour, Kendall Gill, racing down the court to try to block Michael. And of course, it's a Jordan and one with Kendall Gill fouling him.
Well, come on.
And that was it because, you know, when you're down by three with less than a minute to go to the Chicago Bulls and you're not living in the three-point era that we live in now, that three-point deficit against that defense, felt like a 10-point deficit.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. But it wasn't really that. I think it was the fact that they covered the gambling, they covered his father, they covered going to baseball, they covered what I've always been really intrigued by, Joe, and that's the Bulls without Michael for those 18 months in 94 and 95.
Yep.
They covered him as a teammate, punching Steve Kerr in the face. He wouldn't be the first to have wanted to do so. So, I not that I would. Well, maybe after game three or game five in 2003 when Steve Kerr's hit big shots against the Nets.
I don't want to punch him, but I'm not a big fan of Steve Kerr. We'll leave it at that.
Figuratively punch him.
Right.
Figuratively,
right,
of course.
Right.
But I don't know. I enjoyed it not really because of the Nets stuff. I just thought they covered a lot of interesting things last night.
Well, the one thing that bothered me, though, is they, you know, they go into the whole thing in 94 with the Tony Kukoc thing and Pippen not wanting, you know, refusing to go on the court and all of that. And they covered it beautifully. They made a, you know, obviously, even to the point that, and we didn't even realize how bad it was in the locker room after the game. You know, they win the game, and everybody's all, you know, all off because of what happened with Pippen.
Right.
I couldn't believe Pippen basically quit on his team. But they don't go into the Hugh Hollins call. I couldn't believe it in game five. I mean, to me, that's a big part of the story.
It's
the foul on Scottie Pippen with Hubert Davis in game five, which really won that game for the Knicks and really won the series for the Knicks when you break it down.
It's an incredible oversight that I was shocked that they glossed over because they did give that 94 team a lot of credit. And
they
did.
I don't know if you
look at it this way, but the Bulls' success in 1994 didn't make Michael look very good. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
They go out, and they're a championship-contending team. They won 56 games that year.
56 or 57, yeah.
Somewhere in that range.
Right.
You know, they're talking about how everybody's sort of excited because they're going to get more shots, they're going to get more opportunities.
Right.
And as a team, they were very successful. And if it wasn't for that atrocious call, maybe the Bulls do beat the Knicks, and maybe the Bulls are in the NBA Finals. We know they're in the conference finals, and so I agree with you. I was waiting for them to touch on that.
Yep.
They never mentioned it, but what I did enjoy is getting into the Kukoc thing, because we obviously all remember it, and we remember the controversy of Phil drawing up a play for Tony Kukoc, and Pippen gets ticked off, and he refuses to take the court. I think it was a few weeks ago I was on the internet, and I was on YouTube, and I was trying to find like modern day Scottie Pippen talking about it. Because I've never heard Pippen, you know, over the last five or 10 years, he's been an analyst on ESPN, discuss it.
You heard it now.
That's what I was so excited to hear. And basically, he says, I have no regrets.
Right. He would have done it again. He said, I would have done the same thing again. I can't believe he said that.
I can't believe he said
that.
I mean,
how do you say that? I mean, when you know, I mean, because he basically did. Think about it. He's the leader of the team, and he basically quit on the team. And, you know, the bottom line, Phil was right. Kukoc hits the shot. I mean, that's, you know, he hit it.
Yeah. And part of that 94 team that they were getting into is that, sure, Scottie's the leader, and give him a lot of credit for that. And he led in a very different way than Michael, but it was creating more opportunities for everybody else.
Right, right.
So it was very fitting for that 94 Bulls team to have a postseason game in which somebody other than the superstar hits the game-winning shot. And for Pippen to take himself out of the game, which we all witnessed, obviously it was against the Knicks, it was game three of that series.
Sure.
I was waiting for Pippen to get emotional and say, it's the biggest regret of my career. I wish I could go back in time. And instead, you know, he just sits there coldly and says, I would have done it again.
Yeah.
And I was stunned like you, Joe, that he actually said that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I really you know, and even Jordan comes back and said that's something that's going to mar his career, you know, forever.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's true. I mean, it's something, you know, you say whatever you want about Pippen, great player, Hall of Famer, six championships, all of that. You always think of that this guy decide, hey, I'm not coming out because I'm not getting the shot. I mean, really?
And what's so crazy about that is when I think of Scottie Pippen as a player and I think of his legacy, I don't think of him as this me guy.
No, you think of him as an unselfish player.
Yeah.
In fact, they even said that they were even going into that he was more a facilitator.
Right.
You know, on that 94 team where, you know, they were moving the ball around. They showed that one sequence in one game, wherever it was, where they must have everybody, I think, touched the ball like twice in one sequence. And eventually they get a basket at the end of it. I forget who got it.
That's what adds to the weirdness of the whole thing. That's not even really him. And yet, of course, we're all going to remember that. I don't think that necessarily defines his career.
No,
it's not the first thing.
No, I wouldn't say that. But it's something that, you know, you can't, you know, if you're going to sit down and talk to Pippen about his entire career, that has to be brought up.
Oh, no doubt about it. And he doesn't really seem to have that many regrets over the whole thing.
No.
But you are right. I'm surprised they didn't show the Hugh Hollins call, considering how huge that was in the series.
No question. And how that might have cost the Bulls the series. And they made it, you know, they just went right from the Tony Kukoc to basically game seven and Knicks win, and that's it.
Right.
You know? Right. So I was very surprised. The other thing I really took out of this, more than anything else, first of all, you know, Jerry Krause. I mean, how about the beginning of the of episode seven, I guess it is, when Craig Sager, of all people, basically says to ask him about the backstabbing and all his stuff, and Krause gets ticked off and then walks off the podium, pretty much.
Well, it was so great because it's such a loaded question. I mean,
right.
When you ask the question basically the way he did, I mean, you're going to get a negative reaction from Jerry Krause, but he's right. I mean, the thing that is so mind-boggling about that run in 1998 is not just that Jerry Krause was in a rush to break the team apart. We all know that's crazy. But the fact that in the middle of the season, when they're playing that game in Utah, he publicly says, yeah, Phil's not coming back, no matter what. Even before the season, 82-0, doesn't matter. You're not coming back.
Right.
There's no reason to ever say something like that,
right.
Even if that's the reality.
Of course. No, it's unbelievable. And the other thing, and I said this, we talked a little bit earlier today, and I said this to you, Jordan never gives a compliment to anybody. I mean, there is nobody that he played against where Jordan will even say, ah, you know what, this guy was a tough opponent. You know, this guy did give me a little trouble. You know, nobody with that. And they're showing that thing with Gary Payton, right? The comments Gary Payton made about covering him in those two games.
Oh my God.
That the Sonics won in the finals in 96. And Jordan's basically laughing. He's laughing at the guy.
Dude.
The glove. Oh, yeah, the glove, right. The glove was nothing. However he said it, that he was.
I think the quote was, I had no problems with the glove.
That's what it was.
I had.
Right.
The way he does it, too, first of all, it's incredibly condescending. And I know that a lot of people probably like it because it's the Jordan confidence or the Jordan arrogance.
Right.
But you're so right. Gary Payton is a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody's suggesting Gary Payton is Michael Jordan. Nobody's suggesting Gary Payton is a top 10 or top 20 player of all time. But he was a very good player. And he was a tremendous defensive player.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, Gary Payton is explaining, right or wrong, because who knows the truth, that, you know, he finally got Michael tired in game 4 and 5. And then he told George Karl, who, by the way, wasn't interviewed in this thing years ago. I've never heard him in the past ever really talk much about this. So I can't explain why we don't hear certain things. But, you know, I thought years ago he would have been asked about that, about why Gary Payton wasn't on him for the first three games of the series. Because that doesn't make a lot.
Well, he did say, I mean, they basically.
Oh, you're right, the offense.
They wanted him to score. He said he needed Payton to score more. I think that's what the answer was.
Nah, you're right, you're right. Now that you bring it up, I do remember that they showed that was his reason.
Yeah.
But Gary says, all right, I'm going to guard him. I don't care what you say, coach, I'm guarding him. And then he tired him out in game 4 and game 5. And so Gary looks very proud of himself as he's explaining this and what he was able to do to frustrate Michael. And then Michael, forget just the words, the laugh.
Yeah.
That evil laugh that he had, where he is just, I mean, he's mocking Gary Payton in front of the world.
Yep.
That's what he was doing.
Yep.
I had no problem with the glove.
Right.
And then he says, I had other things on my mind.
Right. Yes. Because it was Father's Day. It was around Father's Day, and his father wasn't there. And that's basically what he said. Right.
Let's be fair about this. If there was, and I'm not going to use LeBron as an example because I hate the LeBron Michael stuff. If any modern athlete, first of all, laughed at an opponent like that and then said, I struggled because other things were on my mind,
we'd
be crushing him.
Crushing him.
Crushing him.
He'd be getting crushed.
Oh, my God.
I agree. Be getting completely crushed, bro.
But he's laughing at Gary Payton. Yeah. He's laughing at him.
Well, how about the thing, too, with George Karl before the finals? And Karl's having dinner in the same restaurant that Jordan was. And George Karl gets up and doesn't go say hello to him. And he knew George Karl because he was a Carolina guy.
Right.
He said he played golf with him and Dean Smith and all of that. And he doesn't say anything to him and just walks out. And he got ticked off about that?
Well, here's the – let's be fair about this. And I think we learned this with that fascinating story about LeBradford Smith, where Michael made up the whole thing that this kid, LeBradford
Smith. Oh, yeah,
where
the guy scored. He said, I'm going to score more than LeBradford in the first half after LeBradford goes for, 36 or whatever it was?
Right. LeBradford goes for 36 and then supposedly tells Michael after the game, nice game. And Jordan uses that as motivation to crush him. And it's later revealed that never happened.
Right.
So let's use logic here. If George Karl goes over to Michael Jordan at dinner, Michael twists it into, can you believe this guy?
Right.
This You're guy right. bothered me while I right. was at dinner. I'm eating this wonderful steak.
Right.
I'm enjoying right. myself, and this right. arrogant right. SOB
right.
comes
right.
up
right.
to
right.
me
right.
and right. bothers me. I'm going to drop 80 on his team.
Right.
So
yeah,
the
you're right.
proof is no matter what happens, and I guess this is a compliment to Jordan, he was going to use it as a way to crush his opponent.
Yeah. No, you're right. And no doubt. No, that's no question. That's been the theme throughout this whole thing. No doubt about it.
100%. Now, did you feel like the air has been cleared about Michael Jordan's decision to retire? Because they did address the rumors. They addressed the secret David Stern suspension. Have you been convinced?
No, absolutely not.
Nothing changed your mind?
And basically, you know, the guys were basically covering up for him. You know, Bob Costas, well, there's never been one shred of evidence that, you know, this had anything to do with Michael Jordan's gambling situation. Now, I mean, I don't know if it did either, but all I know is this. I just find it very odd to believe that his father, in the middle of the night, is driving, gets tired, pulls over on the side of the road to sleep or whatever. I don't know how many people really do that, unless maybe you're on the interstate. Maybe you would do that. I don't know. You know, just pulls over to sleep in his car, and next thing you know is he wakes up and there's somebody's putting two bullets in his head or whatever he did. You know what I mean? These two 18-year-olds, and the trial came and went. I mean, it was unbelievable how fast that went. You know?
Yeah, I got to admit.
I find it hard to believe. There's got to be more to it than that in my mind, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got to admit, this didn't clear anything up because it's very easy. And I give the documentary credit. They address it. They say, here are the rumors.
Right.
Here was the speculation. Here's what Michael thought about it. But simply saying it's not true and simply having the league commissioner, David Stern, laugh and say it's not true doesn't prove it's not true. Now, on the other side of things, I'm also not as convinced as you are that there is this grand conspiracy. I just don't know. I think one piece of, I don't even want to call it evidence, one story that I thought was really, really interesting was his friend saying that in 1992, he told him, I'm going to retire and go play baseball. And this was a year before his father died, a year before he actually did it. And he throws in the line, and this was a throwaway line, but it shows you Michael's thinking, I would do it now, but Magic and Larry didn't win three in a row.
Right, that's right. That's right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, right. No,
so
he did say that.
If that's true, if that conversation happens a year ahead of time and says, hey, I'm going to shock the world, I'm going to quit basketball and go play baseball, that adds to his decision being just about him really wanting to get away from basketball and go play baseball.
That may be. I still question what happened to the father. To me, whether he really wanted to go play baseball or not, to me, is not even the issue. It's just that I have a hard time believing that's how it really went down with the murder of his father. That's all.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I don't never know if we're going to get every piece
I don't
of
think we will.
Information.
I think we'll find out about the Kennedy assassination before we find out about that.
You may be right. We'll get to your calls, 877-337-6666. We got a busy show today. We mentioned Kendall Gill, who competed against MJ in that first round in 1998, the former New Jersey Net, will join us coming up at 3 o'clock. It's the Elite Eight and the Beningo Bracket of Pain. We got some big-time matchups, a Jet matchup, and a Nick matchup. And it is the debut of the Sterling Five. We will listen back to five very different John Sterling individualized home run calls for particular players. So we'll get to that a little bit later on, and we'll find out what the heck's going on with baseball. Evan Drellick, who writes for The Athletic, him and Ken Rosenthal have the report about MLB's plans for a 2020 season. We'll talk to him coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So certainly a lot to talk about. We'll get to your calls coming up, but Ingo and Roberts here on The Fan until 6 o'clock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.